Hi,
and welcome back to the third episode
of The Crime Light.
Still, we're going under quarantine at midnight tonight, so
this will be our last one for a minute, but we'll be back soon. You've got three episodes to listen to, which I think is pretty good for us to be pushing out three.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to our last two, go check them out.
Yes, for sure. Ted Bundy and Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Imagine us at 50 episodes just like going back and saying all the episodes we've recorded.
Which we will not do, but now we have committed to 50 episodes.
Yep, sign the contract right here.
Buckle in!
50 episodes at least here.
At least. Damn. Damn!
Well, welcome back to The Crime Light. I am your host, Ashton Fowler.
And I'm your co-host, Brooke Finch. Sorry, I'm a little slow today.
So, welcome back. Today's episode is a fun one for me. This is a case that really is one of my favorites, which is a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Like,
but
it's a horrible thing to say.
It's unsolved, so they're, like, the interest peak is understandable.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorites to look in because I get to develop new theories, yeah. Which is super awesome.
Also, we did this in a fun way, so she didn't tell me what case we're doing, so I couldn't look up anything, so I don't have any preconceived notions. So she knows everything about it, and I get to put my two cents in and say who I think done it.
Yeah, so it's a whodunit. So I get to give her all the information, all the theories, all the suspects, all the evidence, and then at the end we will sit and decipher who we think most likely did it.
Woohoo!
Super fun. So,
buckle in.
Today's case is the JonBenet Ramsey case. It is one of the most notorious cold cases in the United States.
And JonBenet is a girl, by the way.
Yes, that would have been made clear a little later. But yes, JonBenet is a girl.
Don't get it twisted.
Let's go ahead and dive right in. Like always, I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then I will set up the scene, because there's not a whole lot of story or, like, catching a killer to this, so it'll just be a little bit of information. So the background, JonBenet Patricia Ramsey was born on August 6, 1990 to her parents John and Patsy Ramsey. She had an older brother named Burke who was 3 years older than her, and she was born in Atlanta, Georgia. They ended up moving a little bit later to Boulder, Colorado, where John became a big CEO of a big company. And they were a really affluent family in their community. They were really prominent people. They were socialites, and people really, like, valued their presence at, like, parties and events and things like that. Because if you had the Ramseys at your place, like, you made it.
You fucking made it.
Like, you made it.
Wow. Imagine being that valued.
So Patsy, the mother, was a former beauty pageant queen, and she got JonBenet into pageantry. And JonBenet was actually, like, really successful in pageantry. Like, she won a ton of stuff.
Go JonBenet.
I know. She was a super pretty little girl, like, curly blonde hair, blue eyes, like, just.
So Hitler, if you're out there.
Hitler, if you're listening.
We got you one. That's so bad. I'm so sorry.
Brooke! Oh, my God. Oh, this is just taking so many bad turns. diving right in. JonBenet was murdered on December 26, 1996.
But she wasn't murdered on that day, right?
She was murdered on December 26, 1996, yes.
Oh, word.
And nobody knows who did it. Many people think that it was, like, someone from her family, like, someone in her family killed her on accident, and there was a big elaborate cover-up. And then there are people who believe that it was just straight up an intruder who killed JonBenet. So we'll get into the theories and everything, but right now I'm going to set up the scene so that you guys have a timeline of everything that happened. So here's the scene. December 25th, around 10 p.m., the Ramseys went to a Christmas party that was just down the street. And around 10 p.m., they get home, and the entire family, John, Patsy, and Burke, see JonBenet. Like, she is placed at the home. Everyone remembers her being there. And they put her to bed. And all is seemingly well. Everyone goes to bed. And the next morning, December 26th at 5:30... Patsy wakes up to make some coffee and finds a 2.5-page ransom note on the staircase. So I'm going to go ahead and read the ransom note now. Disclaimer, it's a little, like, hard to read. So if I mess up, I apologize, but I'm going to try to read this as carefully and as correctly as I can. So it says, Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. Which is already, like, off the bat, like...
intense.
Terrifying. So it says, you will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size attaché. Ooh, what a fun word. That's a briefcase, if you don't know. That's like a fancy name for a briefcase.
Which I did not know, so you're not alone.
To the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange on an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. Oof, that is pressure. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. Jesus, that's a little harsh.
Like that?
It's a little harsh. Like that? The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we observe you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be scanned for any electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions, and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Victory. Signed, SBTC.
They really had it out for John.
Wow. So, there's the ransom note. That's a lot. That's a lot of information.
I'm not gonna, like, be like, kudos to y'all, bitches, but, like, honestly, that was a pretty intense but pretty detailed. They definitely covered all boundaries with
they
that.
They really note. Did. They so, covered all damn. The bases. So, Patsy reads this, wakes up John, and they start looking for JonBenet. And this is a strange part. They only look in her room. So, they don't, like, search everywhere. They just look in her room. Now, whether that's sus or if that's, I read a ransom note, she's not in her bed, it must be true, she's been kidnapped, then they call the police. Like, that could be a possibility. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that they only searched her room was a little sus to me. So they call the police, and the police begin to investigate this as a kidnapping.
Well, they're fucking stupid.
I know. So another crazy thing, they don't immediately seal off the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Well, like, they don't even know if it's a crime scene. Like, they just don't seal off the house, which is dumb. So anyone could have gone in at any point. Like, anybody. So the family remains in the house. It's swarming with cops, but it's not blocked off. So, like, stuff could have been tampered with. So this is where a horrible decision comes into play, where later that afternoon, John is, like, feeling so antsy about the whole thing. Like, he just wants to do something, wants to help, wants to find her.
Which is, like, the dad
instinct. Yeah, no, like, it's understandable.
Yeah.
And so he asks, like, a rookie cop, hey, can I please do something? Can I go look around and see if I can find her? And the cop is like, yeah, sure. Which is totally against protocol, because if he touches anything, it's compromised as evidence. But he lets him do it anyways. So John goes looking around the house, picking things up, touching things. He goes down into the basement, and he finds JonBenet covered in her favorite blanket. And he goes down and touches the body, like, he cradles it, that kind of thing, and alerts police that he's found her. So he's touched the body, he's touched evidence, and has compromised it in every, like, obtainable way.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath the blanket, what can be found is that JonBenet has massive skull damage, so blunt force trauma, and later in the autopsy, it's found that, like, this was caused an hour before she died. So she didn't die from the blunt force trauma, but she had, like, an immense amount of trauma to her head. She had wounds from a stun gun, so she had been, like, tased. She had been strangled with the garrote, which, if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a noose with, like, something hard at the end of it, so it's easier to, like, pull and, like, choke someone. And then her mouth had been covered in duct tape, and then this is a really, like, horrible part, but, like, I have to mention it. She was sexually molested with, like, the end of a paintbrush, like, the wood end. And that same paintbrush was the hard part used in the garrote. So, she was 6 years old, and these are the horrible things that had been done to her. Which, I can't ever
fathom. My hands are literally shaking.
Yeah, like...
What the fuck?
I know, like, it's a horrible, it's a horrible
Sorry, I laugh
case.
When I'm nervous. I'm not laughing at it.
Yeah, that's honestly true. So, that is the basics of the case. That's what happened. And that's how they found JonBenet. So, now we're going to get into, like, the interesting facts that start the whodunit. So, the ransom note itself is a really big topic of, like, yeah, this is sus. Specifically, like, the ransom amount.
Yeah.
So, like, you think normally when someone asks for a ransom, they're gonna say $500,000, $500,000, or $1 million, $2 million, something like that. But
with zeros, like, at the end.
Yes, but they specifically asked for $118,000, which is weird in and of itself, but where it gets even weirder is that is basically John's holiday bonus after taxes. So his exact holiday bonus was $123,000, and after taxes it was going to be roughly $118,000 and, like, 50 cents. And, like, the fact that that was the amount written on it super strange. So, like, why not ask for more, you know? It was weird. But so that is usually when people say they subscribe to the theory that someone in the family did it, they use that as evidence, because, like, how is anyone else gonna know?
Yeah, it, like, makes sense.
That exact number is his Christmas bonus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if John and Patsy wrote that, why wouldn't they write a higher number knowing that they wouldn't have to pay $118,000 in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really strange. But his bonus check, so to go into the intruder theory, his bonus check, like, the receipt and, like, the tax returns for it, it was on the counter. So someone could have broken in, seen it, and then wrote the ransom note with that value.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's so specific. It's a little, it raises questions.
Mm-hmm.
The ransom note was also written on Patsy's favorite stationery, like, the stationery that she used for everything, and was written with her favorite pen. Which, again, if you subscribe to the family theory, the fact that Patsy could have written it with her favorite stationery, her favorite pen, like, that would just be a go-to for her. And then there's also evidence of, like, a practice note being written before. There are pages that had been ripped out before the ones that had been used to write the ransom note that were never found. So a practice note was, like, written underneath, and then the one on top of it used for the ransom note.
That's weird.
And then another thing was, like, forensic handwriting experts tested the handwriting to John's handwriting, and it didn't match, but they had to test it 5 times for Patsy's, and it came inconclusive. So it wasn't a yes, and it wasn't a no. They just, it was...
That's weird.
Yeah. So they tested it 5 different times, and each time it came up inconclusive, which is so strange to me. The fact that they couldn't just say no, like,
yeah,
that raises questions. But then the other thing is, like, do you think a mother could have written that?
Well, what's the motive?
I mean, we'll get there. But, like, do you think a mother could have sat down and written that note to cover something?
I mean, she was the first one up. And the fact that the John, like, how, I mean, it kind of, like, I was, like, when you were reading the note, I was like, why did they assume John was going to find the note?
Like, I mean, I don't even know if they assumed he was going to find it, but why, it is addressed to him, because he's the one that makes money and, like, is the CEO of the big
But still,
company.
I do think that it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I just think, like, the whole John thing is kind of weird, and the fact that, like, she found it at, like, 5:30 in the morning. Like, I don't know. I mean, that does seem questionable to me, the fact that no one else was up, no one else was in the house.
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, like, that's
a lot. Like, I feel like, so, another thing is, like, a lot of the quotes in the ransom note are similar to that of movies that had just come out. So, like, it's, they're trying to sound like a bad guy. So, I really think that, like, obviously it wasn't written by, like, a foreign faction, like they said, in the ransom note. So, I know for a fact that it was made to throw off police in some way. Yeah. Whether that be an intruder trying to throw them off or a family member trying to throw them off. That's what it was written for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Another piece of, like, factual evidence that's a little strange is on the duct tape on JonBenet's mouth, there were fibers from a blazer that Patsy was wearing when she had called the police. But, like, they never found the roll of duct tape in their home. So, Patsy didn't find her. So, like, how did the fibers get there? Like, it was on the underneath side. So, it could have been, so, a theory. It could have been from John picking her up and cradling her, because he's probably been holding his wife all that day, comforting her. So, maybe when he held JonBenet, when he found her, like, the fibers rubbed off. But, like, there weren't any fibers from his clothes on there, just Patsy's.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, that's, isn't that strange? So another thing, another, like, fact that should be known, JonBenet had a history of, like, wetting the bed, and this, like, drove Patsy crazy. Like, she had, like, she had disciplined her for it, like, a lot, and, like, people, like, neighbors and things had said, like, it was a really big deal to Patsy that she was doing that, and, like, it made her super frustrated. And then, like, some other people said that they believe Patsy was jealous of JonBenet and her success in pageantry. Like, had mentioned that in passing to them. Damn. When she was talking about her little girl's success, like, she looked jealous or, like, spiteful in her eyes. So, a lot of people ended up looking at Patsy as a suspect because of jealousy towards her little girl, which I think in the end, like, how she was killed, like, it's gotta be a lot of jealousy, you know? Yeah. Like, so yeah. It was later found that JonBenet also had been suffering from long-time sexual abuse, and a lot of people claimed that it was probably from her father. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was never claimed. So, when they did the autopsy, they found, like, obviously she had, like, been molested with a paintbrush. But, like, they found, signs of, like, long-time trauma. And,
damn,
like, she's 6 years old.
Yeah.
So, people said that it could have been her father. Other people said that it could have been, like, some guy from, like, working at the pageantry stuff. So, like, following on that, because of her pageantry history, she had a lot of creepy old men that, like, found her attractive. There's even, like, a Santa during Christmas that, like, told her to expect, like, a special visit from him in her room.
Oh, that's so unsettling.
He was looked into, but they found out that he, like, wasn't gonna work out. Like, he had an alibi, he wasn't in the country at the time, like, it just didn't work out. So, you know, she did have, like, a lot of old men that were, like, creepy suitors to the six-year-old girl. Like, it's just twisted. So, I mentioned she had a brother. His name is Burke. So, normally what they do with children when a family member is murdered and it's looking like a homicide, what psychologists will do is they'll take kids into a room and they'll ask them to draw their family. And when the children draw their family, they usually draw them, their parents, and the deceased in the picture, because as a kid the concept of death and, like, losing someone isn't fully, like, formed yet.
Yeah. No,
Burke is 9 years old, so they ask him to draw his family, and he draws it without JonBenet, like the day after
what
this had
fuck?
happened. It normally takes a long time for kids to grasp the concept that someone's not going to be around anymore, but he drew just him, his mom, and dad without hesitation.
Yeah.
And, like, she asked, like, the psychologist would ask, like, well, where's JonBenet? And he'd be like, well, she's dead. And then later they asked, like, how do you think she died? And he was like, well, maybe with a knife, and, like, made, like, a stabbing, like, hitting motion with his hand. Like, it's a little creepy. So another thing is that she was found with pineapple in her stomach after the autopsy, but no one in the house fed her pineapple that evening. She didn't eat it at the Christmas party. Like, it wasn't available at the Christmas party. They had pineapple at the home, but no one fed her pineapple. They just sent her straight to bed because she was asleep when they got home. So her having pineapple in her stomach, like, is a little strange. So we're going to go ahead and get into the theories. There's two different theories, like I said. There's one that it was an intruder, and then there's one from that it's from the family. So the most likely, like, I'll break down, like, what it would look like for an intruder to be there.
Okay.
So for an intruder to be there, the theory says that basically, like, a sexual predator or, like, two broke into the house, and they had some time to look at tax returns, to practice a ransom note, all that stuff. So they broke in before the family got home and, like, waited in the basement or something like that. And then when she went to bed, they took her out of bed and they stunned her with a stun gun. And then they accidentally hit her over the head or hit her on head on purpose to stop her from screaming or something like that. Then they wrote the ransom note to make it look more like a kidnapping than an actual sex crime. And then they used the garrote for some kind of, like, twisted sexual escapade. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, choking is a kink, but, like, when you're a pedophile, like, choking little kids is, like, a thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then because of her previously sustained head injuries, she died. So she had massive blunt force trauma to the head, so asphyxiation for her would have been, like, super quick.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, if an intruder came in, that's the theory. That's what would have happened. And then they broke out of the house. So there was something, too, that, like, the window in the basement was shattered. And it looked like a point of entry, but actually it was shattered from the inside.
Okay.
So, again, like, cover-up, question mark? Like, it was, like, if you had already, like, been in the house, just exit through the front door as an intruder, you know? Like, why would you feel the need to break glass and jump out a window in the basement?
Yeah.
You know? Like, just leave another way. I don't know. I guess that kind of makes sense, like, not having to go up through the house if someone, like, would possibly wake up or something. But, yeah. Like, still, like, it's weird that, like, they didn't exit the same way that they... I don't know. I just find it interesting.
No, it is interesting.
So, then there's the theory that someone from the family did it. So, someone from the family probably hurt JonBenet, and then there was just this elaborate cover-up, like, whether the mom was angry at her for, like, wetting the bed, or her pageantry success, or her father hurt her after sexual assault, or Burke had hurt her for some reason, the family thought she was dead and then covered it up, which, for a long time, I'll get into that later, that's my theory.
Okay.
I just feel like it's an elaborate, like, cover-up, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and get into, like, the suspects. So there is this guy named Gary Oliva, and, or, like, Oliva or something like that, I don't know. He lived 10 blocks away from the Ramseys, and he absolutely loved JonBenet. He was a convicted sex offender, like, pedophile. And he had called a friend that night saying, I heard a little girl. Which was, like, out of context for the friend. The friend didn't know what to do with it, but he just called saying, I heard a little girl. He called on December 26th.
He hurt,
yes. He got arrested for something later, and police found that he had written, like, a letter and a poem to her, and he had a picture of JonBenet. And later he actually confessed to it, but his DNA didn't match. Another thing, he also tried to strangle his own mother with a garrote. So that correlation is a little interesting.
Yeah.
So DNA disclaimer here. So I said the DNA didn't match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the crime scene was handled so poorly, all of the DNA evidence was, like, contaminated and thrown out because, like, police just didn't handle anything well. So it was all contaminated and thrown out and considered inconclusive. So for them to say, like, DNA evidence didn't match, like, it honestly could have. But, yeah. like, they don't know because they let people touch it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so another suspect is Patsy, the mother. Her handwriting, like I said, was compared to the ransom note 5 times and came back inconclusive, which just blows my mind. Like, is it or is it not? You know, yeah. like, like, I feel like you should...
Which one is it?
Yeah, like, one you should have other. A pretty good... It's a 50-50 chance. So for it to be 5 times coming back inconclusive every single fucking time, like, that just blows my mind. She'd expressed anger towards her daughter for bedwetting and had also, to other people, shown jealousy over her pageant success, which I think is, like, I don't know, like, I don't think my mom would ever kill me for, like...
Yeah. Out of jealousy?
Yeah, I mean, for, like, being a little better at pageantry or something like that, you know? Like, yeah, it's just, what? It's a little weird. Then here comes my favorite family theory. This is Burke Ramsey. This is the one that I subscribed to for a very long time. So Burke has shown sociopathic tendencies. And like I said, he drew his family without JonBenet in it, which is, like, super weird. Like, psychologically is very strange for a child. And he also had anger issues. So the theory with Burke is that some people believe that he got up for a snack in the middle of the night, a pineapple snack. And JonBenet got up as well, ate some of his pineapple, and when he found out, he hit her over the head with something like a flashlight. So when the parents found out that he had hurt her and they see her unconscious, they're probably like, oh shit, she's dead, and staged this, like, elaborate crime scene for the police to find. So then that becomes, because, like, to protect their son, like, then comes the smashing of the window from the inside and the ransom note on her favorite piece of paper and the exact bonus amount for the ransom and all this stuff. Another thing that's super weird is Burke didn't talk to any media until 2016. So 20 years after this had happened, he talked to no media. He went on Dr. Phil for the first media presence ever for him. And he was smiling and laughing the entire time. And, like, making light jokes and, like, being lighthearted about talking about his sister's death, like, the whole thing. So people just looked at that and they were like, oh, fuck yeah, he's guilty. Like, how could you laugh about something as serious as this?
And, like, especially growing up in a... Sorry, water. Growing up in a family where the daughter, like, your younger sibling is, like, more prized and possessed than
exactly.
you. Like,
yes.
I mean... Man, sounds like a psychopath, so, like, I can see it. Is that all the theories? All the suspects?
Those are all the ones that are, like, super important. So, yeah, a lot of them got, like, ruled out. But Gary Oliva and Patsy and Burke were heavily considered. I didn't put John in there because he was, like, considered. But he was much lesser considered a suspect than Patsy and Burke.
There's not as much evidence that presents him.
Yes, but if I think it was anyone from the family, I think it was Burke. Like, if you have a child...
I don't think the jealousy because your daughter's better than you were when you were whatever, I don't think that is enough to drive.
No.
And she doesn't show as much psychopathic symptoms.
No. So, where I have... Okay, so if I were to subscribe to any family member... doing
Burke.
It, I would think it would be Burke.
Oh, yeah.
Because Luke and I, my brother's name is Luke. Luke and I have had so many fights where, like, we've actually meant, like, the pain we've inflicted on one another. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm sure those of you with siblings, like, you feel the same way. Like, there have been a couple fights where, like, I said to Luke, I hate you, and I actually meant it. And, like, I hit him a couple times.
I told my little sister that she killed our dog. So, and I actually meant it.
That's not psychological torture.
No,
like...
But, like, I mean, there's a whole story behind that. But basically, like, you say stuff or do things mm-hmm. out of anger, and especially him being so young, he doesn't have full
and
control
having,
over his emotions.
Yes, and like, then he had anger issues and psychopathic tendencies.
Yeah, like...
So for him to do this, I feel like isn't so far-fetched.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And especially not... I don't, like, not fully understanding the idea of death and, like, fully understanding the consequence of your actions. Especially
exactly.
growing up in a family that was so rich, like, not understanding, not comprehending that, like, your actions.
Affluenza.
Yes, literally affluenza. That's what I said earlier. Well, yes. In our one of our first takes, I said, does that have anything to do with affluenza? Because my dumb ass was like, let's make connections. But, no, for sure. And especially the whole drawing thing, that's fucking sus.
Yeah.
Like, even me being away at college, Ellie would still draw me in that hoe.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, Sydney would be left out, but, like, Sydney not dead. But, like...
Yeah. So, I subscribed to this theory for a long time, but I recently listened to a podcast. It's called Cult Leader, and the host, his name is Spencer Henry. I highly recommend you going to check it out because he's amazing. He did one on this case, and one of the things that was said was, like, he subscribed to the same theory I did for a long time, that Burke did it. But, like, if you really look at it, like, why... Like, just, it's, the cover-up at that point is so elaborate. Like, going and, like, oh no, like, my son accidentally killed someone. And then, like, or she's not even dead at that point. That was the thing. Like, why see your daughter with blunt force trauma and then strangle her, tase her, like, put a garrote around her neck and sexually molest her with a paintbrush? Like, why would that be your cover-up? Why not just call 911 and get her help? You know? Yeah. Like that, to me, doesn't connect dots. So, like, for a long time, I was like, if someone came up to me and was like, tell me who you think killed JonBenet or die, I would have said Burke. Like, 100%. Like, I was so gung-ho about the fact that, like, Burke did it. But now, like, seeing, like, the more research I do into this case, I... less and less, like, subscribe to that theory. But if someone in the family did it, I feel like Burke is the most viable option.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe he did some of that stuff to her on his own, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't think a 9-year-old could, like, make a garrote, you know? Like, but maybe he did, like, as horrible as this sounds, like, maybe he did, like, not for sexual gain, but maybe he did, like, shove a paintbrush up her because... he was angry or psychotic or something like that. Like, yeah. that could be plausible, as horrible as that sounds. Again, I'm sorry that's, like, graphic and horrible to think about, but, like, if you really want this guy to be the one that did it, like, I don't know. I just feel like whatever theory you subscribe to, there's going to be flaws that discount your theory.
Yeah.
So I'm more on the side now of an intruder being the one that did it. Because, like, you look at it this way, like, for one or more people to be highly obsessed with this little girl, for them to break in and, like, write a fake ransom note so that it distracts the police from thinking that it was actually just a sex crime, for them to, like, throw police off, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, and just, like, history-wise, it makes sense for, Pat... No, who is it?
Which one?
Gary Olivia?
Yeah, Gary Oliva.
Gary Oliva. Like, history-wise and, like, you know, like, tendencies and stuff, it makes sense for Gary Oliva and the convenience of, like, living 10 blocks away. I mean, yeah, that's, like it's not a little bit, yeah. But, like...
And for him saying, like, I hurt a little girl to his friend that same day... I feel like that's
dead-ass just a confession.
Yeah, and he later confessed to it, but the thing that ruled him out was the DNA stuff... But again, the DNA was all thrown out later because all of it...
Because of, yeah, the dad.
Because all of it was contaminated.
Yeah.
So, from people not handling the case correctly. So, I don't know. So that's all the information that I have. Those are the theories. Those are the suspects. That's the evidence. That's what happened. So, what do you think? Having heard this for the first time, what theory do you think you subscribe to the most? She's thinking. Sorry for the silence. We're really thinking here.
I want to say... I want to say Gary.
Yeah, just an intruder?
Because let me defend myself real quick. The Garrett, the history with the mother and the own Garrett, the history of the arresting record, the note that he wrote to her, and the saying, I hurt a little girl.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense with me, because...
Fuck. Like, there were... So, there were other people...
Yeah.
That were considered as suspects outside of Gary Oliva. But he's the one that stood out to me because of all this information.
Yeah.
So all the other guys, like, ended up being discounted one reason or another, whether they had an alibi or they were, like, out of the country, or they ended up, like, it just, they were faking it or something like that. But Gary Oliva, like, he's the only one that made the most sense to me.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I, for a long time, was like, it was Burke, hands down. But I didn't take into consideration the elaborate cover-up that would have taken place.
And the fact of, like, his dad, like, wanting to do something, like, oh, like, can I do something? And, like, tampering with evidence and everything.
That was another thing that will, like... would have been a smart move if you're trying to cover something up, was touching everything so that all the evidence would have been thrown out.
Yeah, but, like, also just, like, I feel like we can't, like, point blame at Burke, because, I mean, that's really stretching there. Like, talking about, like, man sexually assaulting his sister, like...
Well, that was just something that I said, like, could have happened.
But, like, that makes sense.
For real, if you're trying to make it work, you have to stretch it.
Yeah. Well, but, like... Even hitting his sister for taking his fucking pineapple. Like, I mean, and especially, like the sociopathic and the psychopathic tendencies. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And, like, the whole his mother's pen and, like, his mother's note thing. But, like, it looks like a cover-up. But I think it was just poorly done by Gary.
Yeah. So, it just... this whole... Like I said, this whole thing. No matter what theory... you subscribe to, there are going to be holes. There are going to be things that discount it. There are going to be information that you don't have because this whole thing was just done so badly.
Yeah.
And we will never, like, I don't think, honestly, I think if police had, like, gone through the scene and closed it off immediately after they'd been called and got there, we might know what happened.
Yeah.
To JonBenet. Because at this point in 96, DNA stuff was a lot farther than it had ever been.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you were able to find, like, they found DNA, like, in her underwear and on her stockings. And that DNA evidence had to be scrapped because, all this stuff had been touched.
Yeah.
So if they had closed off the scene, gone the parents off, and had, like, gone to interview them or something, just gotten them out of there, not let them stay the entire afternoon while they conducted an investigation, we might know what happened to JonBenet.
Yeah.
And I think on their fault, we will never know.
So, not knowing, I'm gonna go with Gary.
You're gonna say an intruder?
Yeah.
Gary? Yeah. It, like, and like I said, we'll never know if it was Gary. He's just one of the number one suspects. But I, like, now, for years, I was like, Burke did it. Someone in the family did it. And this was an elaborate cover-up. But seeing, like, the way, there had to be prior abuse for them to be okay with any level of what they did to her.
Yeah.
After the fact, if they were covering it up. And I think 100%. That's true. Like, if it's just a little girl you see as a sex object, like... then doing, like, those things to her isn't that far-fetched.
Yeah. It's not even, like, a big thing.
Yeah. So there are some things that are sus, like breaking the window from the inside, that, like, that seems like a cover-up, but, like, also I could see them, like, using that as a way to escape versus going out the front door again,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it just, like I said, there are holes in every theory, but, like...
And the fact of, like, I think... he, like, knew that, like, I think that his, if Gary actually did it, I think, like, his plan the whole time was gonna be to kill her either way, whether they returned the money or not.
Or even if it was an accident, like, you know, like, if they accidentally, like, were using the girl as, like, a sexual thing, and, like I said, it wasn't gonna take long to kill her, partly because she's six. And it doesn't take long to strangle someone who's smaller than an adult, because to strangle an adult, it takes about 2 to 3 minutes, which is a lot of time when you think about it. For a little girl, it is much less time than that, on top of her having severe blunt force trauma to her head. Yeah. So it did not take long to kill her at all. So maybe they were using that as a sexual thing and then killed her and then just went with it with everything else. Like, maybe it was an accident and they intended for her to live, but then they wrote the ransom note or something like that. Like, the order of events could be altered in any way, but now that I've done more research, I honestly feel like it could have, it must have been an intruder.
And the whole, like, the people, the two men who are with your daughter right now don't really like her or whatever, like, that just seems really
don't
weird
like
to
you.
Me. Really weird to me for it to be a cover-up.
And like, they probably, like, didn't like John. Like, that, there's probably some truth in that, because in the ransom note, like you said, it said, the two men who are watching over your daughter don't like you. So it could have been, like, they don't like him at all, so they're willing to do something to his daughter,
his pretty
little girl.
Yeah, they don't have any regret, any remorse, any second thoughts.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that's about it. So, consensus from the Crime Light crew, what do you think?
I'm gonna say Gary Oliva.
An intruder. That's from us. Gather your own theories and
let us know.
Let us know, yeah.
I'm sure all of y'all know us somehow. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else you would be seeing this podcast.
Yes.
So, let us know what's up.
Yeah, let us know what you think, because it's always really interesting to me. I've had hours of conversation with people about this case. Like, who do you think did it? I had a party at my house one time, and, like, me and two other people sat in my living room and just watched. Another thing. There's a movie kind of documentary style movie on Netflix called Casting JonBenet, and I highly recommend you watch that, because that's a documentary in a really cool form. They take people from the city of Boulder, Colorado, that were there at the time of the murder, and ask them, they make it like a fake audition for a documentary and have them tell the camera about what they remember and their theories, and it's really interesting. So we were watching that and just talked for like 2 hours about our theories. So I'm always interested to hear what other people think. So if you have theories on who did it after listening to this or doing your own research, like, literally hit us up, let us know, because it's always interesting to me and I could talk about this case for a very long time. So obviously I have, it's 42 minutes in. So, so yeah, that's the case. That's the case of JonBenet. It's gruesome. It's horrible. What happened to her is absolutely devastating. She was so beautiful, so young, and it's gruesome what happened to her, but I'm glad we got to talk about it and kind of decipher our own theories for ourselves.
And shed some light.
Shed some light on the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening. After quarantine, we'll be back with more. So just use these three to get your fix.
Fuck Corona. Hope none of y'all have it. I probably do.
God bless. Prayers for all of us out there. Hashtag alone together. So, all right. Thank you for listening. Tune in soon for another episode, and keep shining.